And the place for the university to host this joint meeting of the State Board of Education and the Board of Regents and different people who are interested, and there's many here that they're not known to all of us, and I think that perhaps Dr. Sobolak or Dr. Wood could introduce some people around. But first, what would you do?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Wood, and the Board of Regents, it's a pleasure for me to share with you, members of the State Board of Education. At the end of the table, we have Mr. Frank Reed, Mr. Danny Han, Janet Forgan, Doris Wilkie, Ed Smith, and our Dr. Hartman, and yours truly, Soba.
Thank you. Members of the Board of Regents here, the President, of course, William O'Neill, all of you know, and Vice President Mr. McFarland, and your Treasurer, Dr. Hugh Fate, who lives in Fairbanks, is a little late, but he was here. And the Secretary, Mrs. Rudy, is held up at the church and will join us, I think, later this morning about noon. Mr. Nolan, Jim Nolan, called me that his plane had been canceled because of weather in Southeastern, and he will try to get here either late this afternoon or very early in the morning. So I'm afraid he's going to miss this particular meeting. Mr. Brian Brundane is a member of the Board of Regents of Anchorage. Mr. Robertson of the Ketchikan, member of the Board of Regents. And Mrs. Bullock, the late of Kotzebue, but now of Anchorage, I believe, member of the Board of Regents. Thank you. And when our faculty people are involved in the discussion, I'd be happy to introduce them as we go along, unless you'd like for me to introduce them now.
Well, Dr. Sobolak, I believe that Dr. Wood and some of his people, as well as some of yours, have probably got this program pretty well organized here, and so I would suggest that you bring up the matters as you had planned to do so.
I've had discussions with Commissioner Hartman about some of the possible topics that we might discuss when we had this very fine opportunity of bringing the two boards together. Personally, I wish that this could happen. And I don't believe we've had one now, but Mr. Smith, when you were chairman here a few years ago, about four years ago, and I do feel that it's exceedingly important that we have occasions when the State Board of Education, the Commissioner of Education, and the Board of Regents meet together to take a look at the total fabric of education in the state of Alaska. Now, among the topics that Commissioner Hartman and I discussed as being of special concern and significance at this time are the five that appear on the list. Now, these may not be the ones which the members of the board feel are significant. And perhaps the first thing we ought to do is to see if there are some additional topics that you would like to put on this list before we say, okay, let's begin with this one, whichever one it is. So I just wonder if we might spend just a couple of minutes finding out if there's some additional topics that you would like to put down on the list of items we'd like to discuss this morning. And then tell me, which one do you want to begin with? We think the vocational and technical matter and the relationship to the state, public schools, high schools, community college, university, private institutes, very significant on this one at this time, but that may not be what you think. Well, any other topics you'd like to add? Do you have any, Mr. Sobolak, from your group now, from the State Board of Education?
Chairman Doug, I think that they're in well prepared order. I'd suggest we go right down the line the way they are. I think it's a very good sequence myself.
Ms. Wilkins, do you have George? I'm over here. Ms. Bullock, do you have any topics? Are these?
No, sounds very good.
I have notion to go along. We'll think of some other things. Robbie, Mr. Bundy?
Does the part one include the funding arrangement of the vocational technical education as well? I assume it does.
Well, I think we'd have to get into the discussion of this. Bob, do you have, Bill, do you have anything else?
No.
And then we start with the vocational technical education. I think I'd ask just to get the topic on the floor that Dr. Buswell, is he here?
Yes, I'm here.
I wonder if you might brief us on the present status of the vocational technical arrangements. To get it started, perhaps Mr. Hartman, Dr. Hartman, would join in on this, and the two of you give the thing. Perhaps from the state would be the best. What are the arrangements for vocational technical education in the state of Alaska now? And then we'll ask Art to come in with what the university is doing, and to do this so we can have a starting point in our discussion.
Come on, Art, set the table, and then you will have to move later. Let me just preface my remarks by saying that I think it's appropriate also, Dr. Wood and President O'Neill, that these two groups do get together. I think you probably recognize the fact that between the two of you, you set policy or establish principles or and participate in goals and objectives of education to the tune of about 50% of the state's operating budget, which is probably going to be half of it, well over $100 million this coming year if we can divide by half the governor's announcement in Anchorage when he said it was going to, the total budget would be something over $200 million. So I think that you carry a great deal of status among the people of this state, and I hope and I know that many of you sense this very keenly. To get to the first topic, we have within the State Department of Education a division of vocational education. Their primary responsibility, of course, is that in secondary vocational education, we're adding to that, that is in the public schools, high school, we're adding to that some consultants in the industrial arts, we hope next year, which has been sadly neglected, because unless we give a little more time and attention to occupational concerns and occupational training at the junior high level especially, and even the elementary level, we're not going to set the stage, provide the right kind of climate for students to follow through in to and feel comfortable in vocational technical programs. So we receive some federal funds, not a great deal, for secondary vocational education. There's been a real hue and cry among district schools because they haven't received, they have found sufficient funds, whether it be for faculty, whether it be for equipment, or whether it be for buildings, for vocational education work up through the 12th grade level. We've asked for more state funds for next year, hope that we get them. Now, the post-secondary, the MDTA programs, are the federal funds for these right now also come through the Department of Education or the Division of Vocational Education. For the most part, we do not, as a Division of Vocational Education, want to operate programs, whether it's at the secondary level or whether it's at the post-secondary level. We, for the most part, see the state contracting with other agencies to carry out the post-secondary program. The secondary, of course, accomplished by the district school. The post-secondary by various agencies. In most cases, it's been the community colleges that we've contracted with various community colleges to do the post-secondary and MDTA programs. For the most part, and in, especially I think in Anchorage, this has been quite successful. I think we do have some real concerns, however, about some of the vocational technical programs in areas outside of Anchorage, and the community college role in these programs. I think most of you recognize that the community college operates the non-credit programs in the district in cooperation with the University of Alaska and the local Board of Education. This probably statutorily is a sound arrangement. We have felt that the local boards of education probably haven't been exercising sufficient administrative and operational role here, that they have too often left it to the community college director. There hasn't been enough articulation of programs that was from the secondary level to the post-secondary level on into the community college, especially in secondary technical, post-secondary technical and vocational work. We don't have any bright ideas of how we might improve this. As I said before, in Anchorage, I think there has been perhaps more articulation of program, perhaps because the college, the community college there, has been in existence much longer, and many of these things have been worked out. But we do sense, again, as I say, a need to take a look at the role that the local board should play in the vocational programs. We have considered the fact that maybe we should, from the vocational educational level, contract with the Board of Education at the local level and through the superintendent, as opposed to going directly to the community college director. Would this improve at any, would this give the local board a keener sense of responsibility, a better knowledge, more decision-making responsibility if we were to go directly to the superintendent? Would this be a workable, in the Board of Education, would this be a workable arrangement? As I said before, for the most part, we've been dealing directly with the community college directors, and contracting with them really has sort of bypassed the board in many respects, local Board of Education and the superintendent. I think mainly because at times the vocational education people feel they've been too busy with their secondary program and haven't had the concern they ought to have about vocational education program. So that's just a broad overview, and Art, maybe you'd want to take it from that point, and then we could get into a discussion of some of the specifics at a later later on in discussion on this.
Fine. I think there's no question that all of us agree that the need for vocational, adult vocational training, skill training, retraining of people is of paramount importance in the state of Alaska today, and growing more important as our industrial base develops in many areas, not only oil, but also in fisheries and other development of natural resources and the engineering that goes along with the development of the country and so forth. So that the need is probably expanding much greater than it has, or will expand in the next couple of years, probably at a greater rate than it has in the last 3, 5 to 10 years. And I think we've got to be ready between these two boards and people working for you or others in the state to meet the challenge of preparing people to take advantage of job opportunities that will be available, and also to make sure that our people in Alaska have the advantage of the education and training that's necessary so that they can be employed and take advantage of these opportunities, and so that the work can get done in minimum time without having to bring people in that have to adjust to other things, to other conditions here in Alaska that they're not used to. I think we can all agree that there is a great need and an increasing need for adult vocational technical programs throughout the state. When the Community College Act was passed back in 1953, and when it was amended in 1960, the Community College Act was an effort to bridge the gap, it seems to me, between the secondary education and the university level work, and to meet some of the needs that were not being met or might not be met if the local school district concentrated on grades 1 through 12, the university concentrated on baccalaureate and graduate education. And I think there was a concern that with the needs of the local school district for the problems of educating the public, the educating the people through grades 1 through 12, and the financial resources available to them left a problem in regard to just what to do about continuing adult education or vocational technical education. And yet the law clearly states that the financial responsibility for adult vocational programs is the responsibility of the local school district. Both the original act and the amendment make it clear that this is a joint operation. The local school district, as you know, requests the University of Alaska Board of Regents to establish a community college in cooperation, which would be established by the University of Alaska in cooperation with the local school district. The university to have responsibility for organizing the community college and administering and financing all credit programs, whether they be at the associate technical level or the baccalaureate degree level. As long as they are academic credit programs, they are responsibility of the university. The school district has the responsibility and signs an agreement with us to carry out this responsibility for financing the vocational programs. This is the place where we have had difficulty in getting this fully accepted. On the other hand, we must recognize that between 1956 seven fiscal year, when the Anchorage School District put in almost $16,000 of local school district funds, to last year when they put in almost $82,000, there has been a substantial increase. But even the $82,000 of local funds, as compared with a vocational program at the Anchorage Community College, which I believe last year ran more than $500,000, the $81,000 of local school district money is pretty small. The additional money has come through the State Department of Education, Vocational Education Section, MDTA funds, or fees from students. So that the local support, even from our largest school district, has been small in comparison to the total amount of money available. In these smaller school districts, we have had very little actual cash built into the budgets by the local school boards in support of adult vocational education. They encourage the community college director to put on adult vocational programs, but they don't encourage them with financial support. Let me give you an example of what happened this year in Juneau, where there's a recognized need. In fact, even in Juneau, we have right now almost 400 people in vocational programs and close to 300 in bodies and taking between 200 and 300 taking academic credit programs. The community college director representing the school district went to the school board, that is, in his role as administering the vocational programs, met with the school board and presented a budget which asked for approximately $16,000 to $18,000 of direct money to be included in the school district budget for adult vocational programs. The school board did build this into their initial budget request. When it went to the borough assembly, the total budget was cut drastically as compared with what they requested. When it came back to the school board, one of the first things they drew the red line through was the money for the adult vocational program. Again, I believe, sensing that their first priority is grades 1 through 12, the public education requires for all students. This was a small amount of money in comparison with the amount cut out of their total budget, yet in relation to seed money for vocational programs could mean quite a bit in the Juneau area. The community college director and our local advisory committee chairman, Hunt Greening, then asked the school board if they would allow, if the school board would permit them to go directly to the borough assembly and ask for the same amount of money to be put into the borough budget. They did allow this. They did go to the borough assembly, and the $16,500 was put into the borough. school district for some four community college adult vocational programs. This is an unusual approach, and the only time it's been used, this is the first time a local group has gone, other than Anchorage, has gone beyond an amount of, say, $5,000 a year in terms of local support, direct local support through a school board or governmental subdivision for vocational programming, other than through fees paid by the students themselves. It seems to me that the local needs are still going to be paramount, and that perhaps as we look toward state support for more state support for local school districts, which is some of the talking that's going on, perhaps we also need to look at more direct state support for a statewide program of adult vocational programming, with perhaps more of the funding coming directly from the state rather than depending on local areas to divide up their money, on the one hand meet their legal obligations of providing the best education possible, legal and moral obligations for the best education possible, grades 1 through 12, and then also expect them to take a part of whatever funds are available and try to do the adult vocational program. I don't know, but I do think there will be a continuing problem. And because of this, there has been discussion between the community college directors, the Commissioner of Education, the vocational people, and the State Department of Education about other methods of financing. I'd like to give you another example of the problem in building a continuing developmental program in relation to vocational as compared with the academic, where we are reasonably assured of at least getting for the next year the amount of money we had the previous year, and we're able to show projections in enrollment and new programs needed in a particular area. We've been fairly successful in getting additional funding to be able to employ the staff and go ahead. But because of the nature of the vocational funding, it's been difficult to plan ahead. One of the biggest sources of adult vocational funding in Alaska for the last 5 years has been MDTA funds, Manpower Development and Training funds. And Dave, do you have the figures there? So back in 1964-65 in Anchorage?
Yes.
Could you read off the figures for that year and the next 4 years, just for that one account?
These are MDTA funds allocated to the Anchorage Community College beginning in the fall of 65. In that year, it was $452,000. $216,000, $267,000, $273,000, $67,000, $817,000, and $68,000, $69,000, $228,000. I do not have them for the present year, of course. It's in progress.
But you say where 4 or 5 years ago this amounted to $500,000, and then it went down to less than $200,000. This year it's it is slightly over $200,000. Cliff, doesn't this reflect a general decrease in the program throughout the state, not just the Anchorage Community College, that is funds available?
This is right.
Federal
yes,
funds.
It is right.
And so you see, we're dependent here on this kind of federal funding, in which we don't know today what money was available for the fiscal year starting last July 1st for certain programs, or we didn't know until December. We thought we could depend on what was appropriated last year being continued because of a continuing resolution, but then if it's cut or if it's added to, we can get the money so late it's difficult to really plan a good program and get the people in. So this is one of the major problems that I see in planning a good program. However, I would like to make one other statement, and then I'm talking too long, and that is that I feel that also with the commissioner, that the State Department of Education should not get itself in the role of organizing and putting on the actual educational programs. I believe that they should be in the role of advisory and working, developing programs and contracting with other agencies to do the actual instructional work. And I would like to make a plea that although the community college under its present setup may not be ideal, I think that relationships can be worked out with local school districts and local communities and the university so that it can function better. And I think these are being done, especially through the concerns this past year and the meetings with the commissioner and the vocational people. And I would like to submit that we do have an organization here which I think can be developed better to meet the vocational need. And I would hope that we would not get in a position of having a third educational unit set up in the state in which we had a separate board for community colleges with a separate administration, separate institutions, and therefore, of course, another body, in effect, going to the legislature for funds, and probably less articulation between the various levels of education than we now have. And this has become the situation in the state of Washington and some other places, and I would hope that Alaska, in this stage of development, would look towards less separate boards, less people going to the legislature than more. I'll stop there for answering any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Boswell. Dr. Hartman, I was wondering, for a matter of information, at least for myself, maybe everybody else knows, does the State Board of Education request funds from the legislature, particularly for vocational education?
Yes, we have in the past. Well, this is frequently. Is there anyone from the news meeting here? I mean, I'm going to make some statements that I don't want in print at this point in time. And to be very frank, many of these things that I'm anticipating will happen.
Cliff Arlton reporter has been here and will be back, but I don't know if anybody from Fairbanks News Miner or from radio or anybody.
My only concern here is this, that we administratively, and this includes Dr. Wood, the Board of Regents, and the Board of Education, the Board of Regents are really the head of the department and the university, respectively. It's not Dr. Wood and I. We're employed by you people. But we still have an allegiance, of course, must have an allegiance to the administration and to the governor's office. And so what I'm going to say is some things that I think is going to happen when the governor gives his state of the state message and his budget message to the legislature. But things of this nature can change the morning before he gives his talk. I mean, this is being formulated right up until the last minute, the same as you write a speech. You may change your mind about some comment. So I'm just asking that these remarks not become public knowledge in terms of a newspaper, but certainly they will be remarks that will be of interest to all of you, and certainly I have no reservation in sharing them. Bill, we have usually received a very heavy cut in our request for vocational education funds out of the general fund budget, mainly because the federal government has said each and every year they've made a tremendous authorization here of funds, which we, of necessity, have to show in our budget. It runs it up in vocational education maybe to $2 or $3 million, and then Congress doesn't appropriate these funds, so you end up with very little in terms of vocational education monies for the state. This year, we chopped this federal request down to what we thought Congress might appropriate in FY71, and tried to bolster this with the request for state funds. And so we will be asking for more state funds this year. We have a healthy sum in the budget for community college programs to the tune of $500,000. Now, whether the governor's budget review committee will leave all of this in, or whether the legislature or the governor would recommend all of it, whether the legislature ultimately appropriates all of it, that is still to be determined. But we do have in approximately $500,000 for community college non-degree program. This is primarily in vocational technical education. This is the first time that such a request has ever been made to the governor and to the legislature. We have never done this before, but we felt somebody had to get it off the ground, so we have it in our budget. Now, we would hope that the local districts would, again, if we get more aid for public education, that maybe the local districts can supplement this even further at the local level.
Is there any matching requirement in your proposal?
No.
10%, 5%, any kind, or?
No.
Is it advisable for?
Not of the state funds, Dr.
Yes. Yes.
Not that that happens.
Is it advisable for the State Board of Education to supply all the funds for vocational technical training to the community colleges, or on what basis do you figure that the local school board should participate? At their own leisure and will, or on some matching?
Well, number one, not all of these funds necessarily would go to community college. Some of these, a small amount, might be used in conjunction with business and industry to carry out a vocational technical program. Some of them might be used with a Navy advisory board in Point Barrow, for example. We have one or two MBTA programs up there that we contracted with that Navy advisory school board or the council to carry on programs. I mentioned earlier, Mr. O'Neill, I thought perhaps that we should look at, rather than going directly to the community college director for these contracts, that maybe we ought to ask that community college director to go to their local board of education and get this program approved. And then we would have the contract with the local board of education as opposed to the community college. Now, I think this is one of the things maybe Art was suggesting, that rather than to create a third entity here, namely a community college board of directors, that maybe we ought to attempt to refine our present arrangement. And we probably have been guilty at the State Farm Education in terms of bypassing the Board of Education sometimes. I'm saying to the community college director, have you gone to the state, to the local Board of Education for approval of this program? Do they know about it? We haven't done this, and I think we're guilty of...
I'd like to speak to that point, because this has been my understanding that actually we should have been doing this right along, that actually a contract between community college and State Department of Education for the use of vocational funds should actually be a contract between the local school district and the State Department of Education rather than the community college. A contract for academic programs is a contract with the University of Alaska, not with an individual community college. It's a university contract. And I think this is the way it should have been. And in discussion with the directors, I think that at least in the colleges that I now work directly with, that they are aware of this. And I know in Ketchikan, the director there is meeting with the school board, is meeting regularly. And the idea is that these will be taken to the superintendent and the school board. The school board down there, I know, requested of me one time, asked me why they didn't come there, and I said that they were supposed to, and I tried to see that they certainly did, because they felt that they did have a responsibility in this area. I do think this is something that can be worked out, and I think really this is the way it should be, because the community college, as I understand it, is not actually set up as a contracting entity within itself under the present legislation. That is, it's either the school district or the university that is doing the contract.
I think, Mr. President, we found it expedient sometimes to work closely with the community college director and perhaps bypass the Board of Education or the superintendent. And as I say, I think we get an error there. And I've talked to our vocational people and told them I thought that this was probably the route we would follow next year, that we should go through all FY71 programs through that board until it had their stamp of approval, then they just didn't get the funds.
It's much easier for me to go ahead and make the decision without taking it to President Wood or the Board of
Directors. That's right.
Certain areas, and I think this is the same.
There's a lot of red tape, and I think in the case of the biggest program we had, Gene Short's program down at Anchorage, he's always motivated by toward action. Let's get on, get the job done, and let's don't worry too much about all the niceties of the paperwork. Let's get the show on the road. And there's something to be said for this. So I think whatever our arrangement is, we want to streamline it so that we don't hold up action. Sometimes these funds appear and they're available to us for a very short period of time, from the Washington source, for example, or from industry. And we have to have quick action if we're going to do it. On the other hand, there must be ways that, as being discussed here, whereby all the bases can be touched without a great delay in time.
Well, I think that it would be disastrous up here to start thinking along the lines that the colleges, like we do in the state of Washington, each community college has their own board of trustees, and they're all working against each other rather than collectively, which I hope will always exist up here. There is enough overseas boards, I think, to take care of anything that could possibly come along for a good many hundreds of years from now. Is there any questions from...
I have just a comment. I think we're going back to where we were at the inception of the community college program, whereby the University of Alaska and the local boards worked rather closely. I was a member of the board down there at that time, and we worked rather closely, and we didn't have programs. Community college programs in the district that we didn't know about. It's kind of embarrassing for a local board not to know exactly what's going on. You might say, "Well, now this is a wonderful program that's going on now. Is the board responsible for this?" And they say, "No, I'm sorry. It's too bad that the board isn't responsible for it. It's too bad the community college has just got a part of it. It's the Department of Labor that's really doing it." This is kind of embarrassing, but this is true. As much as it would be through the manpower department, or what do they call it now? It was employment service, what it was.
Manpower center.
Yeah, but this is basically true, is it not?
Right.
I think we're getting somewhere now.
In conjunction to that, we're having our internal problems, and we'll continue to have our internal problems in our relationship with the Department of Labor, mainly because at the federal level, the Department of Labor has become very instrumental in making determinations about manpower needs and programs for the unemployed and underemployed people. So we find frequently that our senators find it expedient, and this is not really being, I don't mean to be critical of them, but they find it expedient to go to the Department of Labor and get some of the commissioner's funds, and the commissioner, the secretary, I mean, of the Department of Labor at the federal level has tremendous amount of discretionary funds for vocational technical programs at his disposal. And first thing we know, we're into a program as a result of these discretionary funds being made available through our senators' efforts. And certainly you don't turn them down, but it puts us on the spot sometimes with our own Department of Labor at the state level. And we thought there was some greater need somewhere else. No, we'll have the program here, and this is the kind of program we're going to have. We do depend upon the Department of Labor to make the determination about where these programs, the kinds of programs, the needs that need to be met in terms of unemployment, what jobs are going begging, and then we do come in and join with them, of course. But so we have some internal problems on these MDT programs and pulling together.
I don't question that, because I think there should be a certain amount of correlation so that everybody knows what's going on, you know, and I think that this is what we're doing now.
Dr. Buzzle?
Isn't it also true that with this push in labor and the various units of government, that in some cases they're completely bypassing education, that is the State Department of Education or MITE? I know that there's a conflict back in Washington between the various secretaries in these two areas and others as to who's going to do the education work. It seems to me that we might find out that a lot of training and education is going on in certain skill areas in which neither the Board of Regents nor the State Board of Education or the State Department of Education is directly involved. This will be funded directly from other sources. And this is something.
Mrs. Bullock?
Dr. Hartman, I you know that I've been very interested in this program, and
in some of the material that I got, there was this information that the Office of Education reported that all 50 states complied with the Vocational Amendments Act of 1968 by setting up state advisory councils on vocational education and by submitting new state plans for vocational education. Now, is there a separate advisory committee?
Yes, this is another bit of a thorn in our side in terms of the federal government. To be eligible for federal funds, a state must establish a state advisory board for vocational education, even though there is, by statute, a state board of education, a state board for vocational education in nearly every state. So there is some conflict here as to the role and responsibility of the advisory board and the role and responsibility of the state board and the Division of Vocational Education. Most states have sort of taken the attitude that, well, our statute supersedes anything that Congress has done here in terms of giving this state advisory board a great deal of administrative authority in the program. And yet the federal regulations and guidelines are quite specific about the responsibility and administrative role that this advisory board shall have. But there hasn't been many problems. There have been no problems in this state. There have been few problems in other states. But the federal government could lower the boom if they so desired, in the same way they have on some of the other civil rights issues and so forth, and say, we're going to give this money to this state advisory board for vocational education. We'll bypass the state board for vocational education or the Department of Education. I doubt that we'll ever come to that, but the rules and regulations are so written so that they could do this. It would be in violation of our state law, and there would have to be some court case to determine three. Because the state statute supersedes these regulations, guidelines by the federal government, and I don't know really how that might come out, Mrs. Claus.
You know, a further complication of the funding scene has been that where the federal government had a program in which it wished to push. We had a number of examples of this. They would provide subsistence for certain ethnic groups or certain people from low-income families and this sort of thing. The subsistence funding came from a totally different source, from the funds for the paying of instruction and purchasing of equipment for the training itself. And the selection of the students was made by one agency that funded subsistence, but all the problems of selecting the instruction and getting the equipment, providing the space and operating the program was a responsibility of a totally different agency with a different set of funds. And now when you come down to the state level to bring these two things together, and then further at the several community levels to bring them into harmony, you really have quite a complicated skein of yarn here to untangle and make operate. And that we have been able to do it with reasonable success in electronics technician program, for example, and various MDTA programs, I think is a plus rather than a minus. But it's complicated.
Perhaps at this time you'd like to take a break for a little coffee here, it seems so.
I might make this one remark. There is a meeting in Frisco or L.A. called by the Office of Education and the Department of Labor jointly to determine, no, just the USOE office. Johnny, haven't you been invited? Hasn't the community college has been invited? Or is it canceled out? Well, there's some move underway by the federal government to discuss a community college, some community college federal guidelines and regulations with in relationship to vocational education.
Now, there's another title of the Higher Education Act being considered, which would focus entirely on community colleges, and that is still in the writing stage. And this is the only education programs, it seems to me, at least at higher education, that the present administration in Washington seems to be pushing for.
Dr. Sobeloff and I say we're going to have a coffee.
Bill?
Before it slipped my mind, and that follows up with what Dr. Hartman said, that it would probably be advisable and would benefit to all concerned if we could schedule joint meetings, if it's agreeable to everybody, once a year or at least once every 2 years. But I think that this time of year here is when we have seminars on different subjects at the University of Alaska, it may be as appropriate as any other time to have a half-day or a full-day meeting. I guess Dr. Hartman and Dr. Wood or whoever it is that sets these things up to work on those programs. So we do not let it drag for 4 years like we did this last time when we had one. I have one other question I wanted to bring up, and that is we've talked about the vocational technical training connected primarily with the community colleges, and what is the situation throughout the other parts of the state, other parts of the state where we do not have community colleges? What organization takes handle that area?
I think primarily two things in the first thing to speak to, but the university does contract with the State Department of Education to put on certain vocational and skill programs in locations where there is not a community college through Dr. Lafferty's office. We do this primarily where a single program, such as a sawmill operators training program, is to be put on in, say, 3 to 5 rural locations. If it were to be put on only in Nome, then probably, they would be to the local school district that would contract directly for that local operation. So it's either direct with the State Department of Education, the local school district, or in some cases directly with the University of they operate them in certain areas.
Before we move, before, are we moving on to a new subject here?
No, no, we're still on the same subject.
Well, a further answer to your question is that he requests for me to come in various ways and from various through various channels, but sometimes it's a native village board that we'll contract with. As Art said, sometimes it might be in Nome or in Bethel, for example, the superintendent out there would handle the program, or the advisory school board would handle the program. We need some agency to contract with, some established agency, and then assist them in employing, finding a teacher. We may even send a teacher out there. We think this is the best teacher that's available, which you hire him. And so this is where these, so it comes in from native organizations, it can come in from a superintendent in some of these small areas, it might come in through the Department of Labor and the ESC office and so forth.
But all the money is handled through your office?
Yes, the educational portion of it. Now, as Dr. Wood mentioned, the subsistence portion, that if there's a board room or travel involved in an MDTA program, this is the Department of Labor has the funds for this. So it requires a working relationship. They must approve the need for the program before we can go in and offer a program. We can't just use that, go to Nome or Bethel or anywhere else with MDTA funds and start a clerk typist program, for example. This must be approved first. MDTA funds are involved by the Department of Labor.
Any other questions?
Lafferty's got an example on this particular thing here that you might call it, comment on that.
Big surprise to him, I guess.
Dr. Lafferty has two input there, I think. One from being superintendent of schools, one of the larger districts in the state, which they concerned themselves very much with vocational education at times, and how he worked with the university where there was not a local community college, and then his experience now in running our non-credit programs with situations out in the state where we don't have community colleges. And I think on these two points he can point out perhaps some further difficulties we try to overcome.
Briefly, Michael Conley, I think we're all much interested and have been for a long time throughout the state, people in education, in relationship to vocational education of adults, and there are some real problems in relationship to it. And I'm not speaking from the standpoint of university as much as from 9 years of working in public schools in the state, seeing the development of the Department of Vocational Education, high degree of interest in the Department of Vocational Education expanding these programs. But the problem of funding is really something. And I personally don't believe that there's any Board of Education in the state that will put local funds into an adult vocational education program to over kindergarten, first, second, third, 12th grade. This is something they need to think about. In your community college, I think you have another type of problem that's shown up in states throughout the nation, is that often the problem that's relating to vocational education is wider and larger than the district itself, and that the job for which people may be trained, may need to be trained, may not be locally oriented at all. That suddenly you have something developing on the North Slope, and people down in Ketchikan need to be trained. Well, a local Board of Education or somebody decide, well, we'll put money into this. It probably takes state funding, and it may take something like a community college or some other. Well, it is extremely important. Let me give you an instance of something that just happened the other day, and I think might point up a problem. The State Department of Vocational Education last year contracted for some instruction in clerk, bookkeeper type work at Bethel. 15 people entered a course on a short course. 14 of them graduated, and every one of them was employed. Now this is important you understand. 14 adults were employed and are still employed today, most because of the course being given there. But they happened, the reason they could do it, they happened to find an unemployed couple who were temporarily available to go over there and instruct. And really came out of Anchorage. All right, there was a request recently for a similar type of program. The State Department of Education Mr. Polly, they tried to find people to do this, found they couldn't, asked us if we would take it on, and handed it to us just recently. We found there was not an instructor in Alaska. We began to try to check outside. This money just for something like 5 months. Well, an unemployed instructor who was sitting around ready to run up to Bethel and do something like this, it just simply is not available. The money's been shifted to do a job in a larger community, Juneau, where program, but the thing we're talking about, there are 15 to 20 adults in Bethel that could be employed there, who want jobs, who could be trained right there, who are not going to get it, and now the employing companies are stepping outside to employ people to come in and do those jobs. Now, it's a big problem. It's not a problem maybe that just the State Board of Regents or the State Board of Education or others, but it can just to themselves handle. I don't know the answer, but there's no reason for us to feel today in our society that a person, because he needs vocational training as an adult, has any less right to some kind of support and provisions for it than if he happens to want to be vocationally trained as a doctor or a teacher or an engineer, which is simply vocational training, that he has the same right to be trained as a clerk or a computer operator or a carpenter in order that he can be employed and be productive. And you have thousands in this state and residing outside of districts where there are community colleges who need such help, and many who are in community college areas.
Thank you, Dr. Rafferty.
Mr. President?
Yes,
sir. I think Dr. Rafferty's put on a very good point. It's been wandering all over the table, and I wonder if we can't do something about it. Perhaps we can't, but it's very clear, I think, to us before we came here, become more clear to me. If we've stated the importance of vocational education, it's been understated, the importance of it. It's going to be far more important, particularly as Alaska begins to industrialize. And here we have such a fragmentation, Department of Education, Department of Labor, local school boards, university, state advisory committee, special Band-Aid federal programs. Everybody's in the act and nobody is controlling it. I don't know whether it can be controlled by either us or jointly. The suggestion has been made that we have a yearly meeting. I would think that at the present stage, a yearly meeting and perhaps more together would be a must to do anything we could to coordinate and set forth a more coordinated program of vocational education. I myself, I don't know, perhaps some community college people or Dr. Lafferty could tell us what it's like to have five bosses. I once worked in a job where I had two bosses, and it was just impossible. I quit. I just couldn't do it. And I may be wrong, but my feeling that if the Department of Education is not responsible for the A program, if the Board of Regents is not responsible for A program, if the local Board of Education is not responsible for A program, they're not going to fund it. The example came out when the budget cut came in Juneau, grades 1 to 12 took precedence. Why, sure. And if something's cut out of the university and we're not responsible for that, who's going to get the axe? And if you're responsible for some other program, who's going to get the axe? And everybody is band-aiding and axing what perhaps is one of the most crucial educational needs in the state of Alaska, and it's going to become more so. And I think further that there's been talk, how good and valid it is, I don't know, among the legislators of Alaska, that vocational education has been given less than it ought to be, and they're going to do something about it. I don't know what they're going to do about it.
But may well be that they will set up something that will happen here, but perhaps we can give them a basis already existing or something that we could change jointly to give the legislature somebody who will be responsible.
Well,
and I think that's vitally important. If you have six bosses, you're never going to get the job done.
Brian, I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head like Dr. Rafferty did. And it occurs to me, of course, like I imagine others of you have also thought, that when we have a joint meeting like this of the top boards of the state educational system, that as a result of this meeting, it would seem advisable to me at least to come out with a very strong policy statement that will give or help to give some direction to the legislature as to what is necessary to be done and how we would propose it should be done in order to get away from these gray areas and so many different bosses, as you say. Anybody else have any comments along that?
Well, I think one of the problems that Cliff spoke about the Department of Labor, and I think our community colleges are responsible some for this shift to the Department of Labor.